Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennetts Green.
Always great to have Professor John Fischetti from the University of Newcastle slip into the studio talking about education, the trends, what's making news. But before we do that, we're talking about men looking after themselves and grooming and products. John, good morning. Are you a man of many aftershaves, or are you a man who just loves his one aftershave or none?
Yeah, I'm a no aftershave person. You may have already noticed coming in the studio, Todd.
No, I wasn't just being polite. No, I just... Okay, so you're just happy to be au naturel.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's all right. There you go. Okay, tick that one off the Christmas list, so it is going to be socks and jocks for you.
I'd re-gift that.
Absolutely. This is a very interesting suggestion. Now, we've spoken a lot about exams and how the possibility of changes and the whys and the wherefores, but there's been a suggestion high school students should be able to use notes and even the internet for exams to promote critical thinking, the possibility of a sweeping example, an open book type exam. You'd have to think from looking at it straight away, what's that about? Because in the old days, exams were there to test what we knew. How are you seeing that, and how is that being received, and what's the talk happening?
Well, this is actually an exciting conversation, but I think most of the instincts of our listeners would be this is part of dumbing it down or giving it away or making it easier. It might actually be the opposite. If you really look at the skills we assessed in the past, right and wrong answers, in literacy and numeracy in particular, those don't really need a lot of studying. I mean, a little crib sheets. But if we really want to assess what I'll call the old soft skills that are now the new hard skills, critical thinking, problem solving, reasoning, collaboration, cultural competence, open-mindedness, global thinking, all these big Google-era skills, those are less right and wrong and are more applied.
So it is what you're saying, that's getting the answer correct. I suppose I use a classic example of long division. One of the problems I had in high school, I could never get my head around long division. I would do it, I'd get the answer, but I'd be wrong because I hadn't displayed the technique for long division. So is what you're saying is, obviously you want the answer to be right, but you want to see how the student works through the process for coming up with an answer.
So if you say something like the Pythagorean theorem, maybe a squared plus b squared equals c squared is something you need to know. Let's assume that we're not going to leave the book open for that. But what if we had a problem, which is from the four alternatives for light rail in the CBD of Newcastle, which of these is the most likely to be business friendly, environmentally friendly, increase a cooperation for elderly and others who use public transport, and be economically viable? Well, that's a multi-tiered problem. It involves politics, it involves geography, it involves environment. And so you may use some theorems or proofs or ideas to make a recommendation in an essay that you write in an open book process. But wow, what if we provide students with five references and resources and they have to make a personal opinion and project that in a well-written essay? That's a little more complex a task. It's more like the work that we actually do in the 21st century.
So that's effectively turning the old school thought of exams on its head, and not even turning it on its head, throwing it out the door.
So what if we had both? What if we had some sections of the test which were the recall that society has deemed appropriate? There are some things you should be able to know and recall. And then we shifted to more open-ended, which might mean we're not trying to catch you at what you don't know, catch you at what you do. And I think rather than make it totally open, like you can Google anything, because it leaves itself rampant for the possibility you can have answers prior on a website and cheating and such, but we provide certain select resources to you in the context of the examination setting. So they're kind of controlled, and you have to manipulate those. The disadvantage of that is it's very open-ended in terms of the answer. It could be ambiguous. There might be two best options that we have to pick from, one a little more expensive, one a little less, etc. So that becomes much more expensive to assess. Right and wrong answers are easy. Almost computer-generate a yes or no and mark them. But marking subjectivity creates lots of possibilities of the raters not being reliable, and also for the time it takes to mark them being very expensive.
Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? If you look at HSC time and the ability, and depending on, as you said, who is marking it, one person may say, yes, right, for example, an A. One may go, and the ambiguity of it could be, well, effectively affect a student's future career.
Absolutely. The opportunities other component of this, university. Our current system uses the normal curve, so only 30% of any of us would do the best. It's part of the ATAR, it's part of the HSC, it's part of the NAPLAN, it's all skewed to be a top 30%. That's a normal curve world, which actually misrepresents the normal curve. The bell curve was really invented as a mathematical modeling of the world if there really is an intervention. If we just go 15 random kangaroos in the world and they'll represent the population, let's skew it. However, in an alternative assessment system, we have to recognize that we are intervening in education. We would hope our students would do really well, and some might not. So a criterion reference system instead of norm reference means the bar is set. It looks like you have to get an 85% to get the top mark or a 90% to get the top mark, whatever we set it. But everyone could get that. So imagine in an open-ended question, everyone has the chance to do well. It doesn't mean they will, but that changes the bar where everyone has a chance to be successful. That's a different philosophy of testing that needs to go along with a different era where we might allow some more subjectivity in the marking.
What are principals saying about this opportunity?
I think principals are open to the opportunity to really assess what they're calling these 21st century skills in new ways, because right and wrong answers might just be assessing skills that are still important but not the only array of skills we need. Critical thinking is probably the foremost skill to be successful today. We're really not assessing that.
We're talking high school now. Does that mean that university, for example, the University of Newcastle has to look at the way it grades its students on the scores that they get in relation?
Yep, and if you really look at third and fourth year of undergraduate programs, that's where it gets that way. They're very applied, very practically oriented in the professions or actually in the field where you're assessed. It's in the first year that most of the assessment tasks are really 19th or 20th century and need some good looks, because big classes lead to efficient assessments, which lead to very simplistic ways to define knowledge. That era is probably different today, where we need to be assessing the critical thinking, the problem solving, the reasoning, and the trickiest one of all, being able to work together. How do you assess that?
Yeah, and at this stage, you know, the millennials aren't getting a really big tick and thumbs up for working together at this stage, are they? They appear to be more solo-orientated.
Yeah, pretty good in the Pokemon Go era.
Yes, surprise, surprise. John, thanks very much for your time. Professor John Fischetti from the University of Newcastle.
2NURFM 103.7.